Hello, and welcome to this half hour of Rallets Baptist Church. My name is Brother Dwayne Cook, and I'm pastor here at Rallets, and I'd like to invite you and your family to come join us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for our Sunday school program, every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for our worship service, or every Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. for our Bible study. You know, the Bible is the source book of life, and the Bible really gives us an understanding of God's will and what God's trying to do in our lives, what God's trying to accomplish through our families and through living with a determined faith. In a recent survey, 60% of the Christians polled said they believe the Bible is totally accurate in all of its teaching. Now, with the remaining 40% of Christians now questioning the authority of God's Word, is it any wonder that so many Christians struggle to understand, let alone defend, their own faith? Our belief system governs our lifestyle and our choices. It's the foundation from which we form our opinions and make our decisions. For Christians, it's absolutely essential to know what we believe and why we believe it. Most people inherit their convictions from their parents or absorb the ideas without really investigating them. For instance, if their father supported a union, then they would support a union. If their mothers voted Republican, then they vote Republican, and so on and so on. You see it happening throughout our nation. But to be certain our system of thinking is accurate, we must base it on the Word of God and not on a habit, not on culture, or even family heritage. A belief system is like a mental grid through which all outside information must pass through, sort of a mental filter. The Bible needs to be our mental filter. If our filter has been built on the truth of the Bible, then we can detect false doctrine and false philosophy. False doctrine is usually mixed up with just enough truth to make it sound good. Many Christians who are not grounded in their faith are easily led astray by doctrines that are too good to be true. And I find in our nation that we eagerly support an agenda that's inconsistent with God's Word, because it offers license to live accordingly to one's fleshly desire. A perfect example is in the recent election that we had, where you have Christian voters voting for somebody that supports abortion. Now, why would Christian voters vote for somebody who was for killing innocent babies? The only reason is because they were not filtering through God's Word. They were supporting an agenda they didn't know everything about. They hadn't done their homework on it. Christians should know their convictions so they can present those beliefs convincingly to a dying world. While it's the work of the Holy Spirit to bring the lost to Christ, God may choose to use us to instruct unbelievers in the way of truth. Our world, folks, is so full of people who are desperate, lonely, they're hurting. They yearn for the amazing hope that we as Christians have, but they desire hope sourced in truth and not based on somebody else's opinion. There's no question that our society is permeated with godless ideas and philosophies that will ultimately destroy our country. But if our belief system as Christians is based upon the Scriptures, we'll recognize deceitful teaching when we hear it, and we'll address real needs with real answers. Now, people often have difficulty expressing what they believe. Instead of having a belief system based on godly principles, too many Christians embrace just a few vague ideas. Peter told us always to be ready to give a reason for what we believe. That's the scripture I'd like for you to consider this morning. 1 Peter 3:15, always be ready to give a reason for what you believe. So we want to be sure that we correctly understand scriptural truth. Now let's consider a list of absolute truths that should be a foundational part of your belief system. First of all, when you consider the Bible, I want you to believe the Bible is God's unfolding revelation of Himself. It's His Word to the human race, explaining His intervention in history and nature, and His arrival in the world as the God-man. In keeping with 2 Timothy 3:16, when you refer to the Scriptures as inspired Word of God, or God-breathed, which means that the Lord chose individuals to record what He spoke to them. Now, since He who gave the Word is more than capable of protecting it from error, the Bible we have today is as reliable as when it was originally recorded. each new discovery of a forgotten scroll somewhere or some sort of archaeological discovery does nothing more than affirm the accuracy and the reliability of the Bible. It has never been contradicted. The Word of the living God was given to us so that we might grow in our relationship to Him. The Bible is our instruction book for life, and it's the final authority for what we believe. Thinking about the Godhead, although the specific term Trinity is not found in Scripture, the truth of a Trinity God appears throughout the Bible. Our one God consists of three distinct persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And they're characterized by the same attributes. They're eternal, they're omnipotent, they're omniscient, omnipresent, and immutable. But each person, each head of that body, has a different function. Many passages of Scripture reveal a three-part Godhead. Now, for example, the Spirit of God hovered over the waters in Genesis 1-2, and later God said, "Let us make man in our plural image." Who is us if not the Trinity? It's certainly not the angels because they're not creators. Jesus likewise indicated three persons comprise the Godhead. He said in John 14, 16, and 17, "I'll ask the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may be with you forever, that is the Spirit of truth." And later, Jesus admonished His disciples to baptize in the name of who? The name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Our Heavenly Father is the eternal and absolutely holy Creator God. He has control over every single thing, which is why the Apostle Paul said He causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. He must be overseeing and executing circumstances in order to make them turn out for our good. God the Son is Jesus Christ, who took upon Himself human flesh and He walked among men. Jesus never questioned His divinity. Instead, He affirmed that He who has seen Me has seen the Father. He came to earth for a specific purpose of dying on the cross. His death was the substitutionary payment in full for our sin debt. God the Father cannot look upon sin. Consequently, only a perfect, holy sacrifice could atone for it before Him. Today, God the Son sits at the right hand of God the Father and makes intercession for us. Isn't that a beautiful thought? Isn't that something that you help you to lay your head down at night? God the Son sits at the right hand of God the Father and makes intercession for you. God the Holy Spirit dwells within every believer from the moment of salvation. Through Him, we have our spiritual gifts and the empowerment to do the work that God chooses for our lives. The Holy Spirit transforms the life of the believer and brings forth good things. You're also going to get some debate about who Satan is. Now, the Bible tells us that God created Satan and made him an important angel, Ezekiel 28. Satan is real. The devil so desired to be like God that he rebelled against the Creator, who subsequently cast him and his co-conspirators to earth. Here he has chosen to set up a counterfeit kingdom so that he may reign as the God of this world. See 2 Corinthians 4:4. Satan uses deception and division to deceive believers. He also desires to keep unbelievers away from the saving grace of Jesus Christ, and thereby he destroys them. As the source of all sin, he instigates pain, he instigates sorrow and spiritual death, but he disguises his intentions. He tries to lure people into his counterfeit kingdom by whispering to them about the indulgence and about doing what feels good now. Satan only speaks of the present, not the future, and he never mentions consequences. As Christians, we have no cause to fear Satan. This is true for two reasons. First, greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. That's 1 John 4:4. We're under the protection of the Holy Spirit. Nothing can happen to us that God does not allow. And we know that He permits only those circumstances, no matter how bad they seem, that God can turn for our good. And secondly, all of us who have read Scripture have seen Satan's obituary. It's in Revelation 20, where he's thrown into a lake of fire, eternally punished for his rebellion toward Almighty God. Now, God, we talk about man. God created man in His image in order to love us and fellowship with us. We're also privileged to glorify and to serve God. But when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, man's relationship to the Creator changed. At the same time, man's very nature became corrupt, so that each of us is born with our will inclined away from God. Now, we're separated from the holy, perfect Heavenly Father. But God provided for man's sin with His redemptive plan and the sacrifice of His Son. No man can earn God's forgiveness or acceptance. It's a lie of Satan that any of us can substitute good works for the grace of Christ. Whatever goodness we have and whatever works we perform, they amount to nothing more than filthy rags. But redemption works in our lives to change our nature and to bend it back toward God. That's salvation. The simplest definition of salvation is the gift of God's grace whereby He provides forgiveness for our sins. Throughout the Old Testament, God's faithful people brought animal sacrifices to His altar in order to atone for their sins. Now, these blood offerings foreshadowed the once and for all sacrifice that was to come. Jesus Christ, whom John the Baptist rightly called the Lamb of God, died on a cross as a substitute for us. And that is, at the time of the Savior's death, God the Father placed all the sin of mankind upon Him. So our sin debt was paid in absolute fullness. Now we are sealed in the Holy Spirit until that day of redemption. Salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. It is not something we receive based on our behavior. People who are saved do good works as an extension of their changed nature. The Lord said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through Me." However, God gave mankind free will. We have a choice to receive the gift of grace or to reject Jesus Christ. No matter what you believe to be true about God or how good you try to be, there is no salvation for you if you reject the Son of God. Now let's talk for a second about the church. The church is the whole body of Christ, believers from every part of the globe. It has nothing to do with being Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Catholic, or part of any other denomination. It has nothing to do with that. If you have trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are in the body of Christ, and God is your Heavenly Father. As followers of Jesus, we're to express love for one another, encouraging, helping, praying for fellow Christians. Our conduct should be in keeping with the one we call Lord and Master of our lives. We meet in local groups to serve the Lord. The clear work of the church is to reach out and bring people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We instruct believers so that they may grow in relationship to God. Listen, He's commanded us to go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. Now, within the church, we practice two scriptural ordinances, baptism and the Lord's Supper. Baptism by immersion is a picture of what happens to every single person who is saved. We have put to death the old life and have risen to walk in the fullness and the power of the Holy Spirit. Our character, our conversation, and our conduct are different because we have a new spirit. We're born again. Ye must be born again. Baptism does not save us. Rather, baptism is an expression of obedience to Jesus' call that we be baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Likewise, the Lord's Supper is not an optional idea, but it's an expression of obedience. Through the Lord's Supper, we rejoice in the blood of the new covenant between God and His children. Instead of an animal sacrifice, there is one perfect sacrifice. When we receive the elements representing Jesus' body and blood, it's a time to celebrate our forgiveness. Even more, we celebrate His resurrection and the awesome anticipation of Christ's return. Now, every one of these issues is a vital part of the Christian's belief system. And they're all found in one place, in the Word of God. As His children, we own the most precious book on the face of the earth. If we know what it says, we'll know what we must believe in order to live for His glory. Now, people use all kinds of methods to make decisions. Far too many Christians choose to say, "Lord, this is what I'm going to do. If this doesn't suit you, just let me know." Or they'll say, "If this isn't your will, you just stop me and I'll know it's not of you." Now listen, that's no way to find out what God wants you to do. Having the spiritual discernment to make wise decisions is critical. Discernment is an asset that is not acquired instantly, but grows out of a life totally consecrated to and dependent upon God. When you seek godly discernment with all your heart and your motives are pure, God will help you make wise decisions. God knows your heart, and He wants you to do the right thing. In seeking God for perfect guidance, you must first confess your sins and allow God complete access to your mind, and don't miss this, your will. When your relationship with Jesus is right, He'll give you wisdom. When you disobey God in your words and your actions, then there's a hindrance to your fellowship with the Lord. And you can't receive clear guidance. When you sin, you need to confess immediately and accept the responsibilities for your own actions. Don't wait until you go to bed because you live the entire day out of harmony with God. If you confess your sins, He's faithful to forgive you right then and right there at the moment it happened. And then the rest of the day you can be right. Are you afraid to make decisions? Do you wander between two paths because you can't determine which way to turn? Now sometimes that's due to a self-image problem. You don't trust yourself, or you fear the consequences of making the wrong decision. Other times it's a result of sin that blocks your communication with God. How can you know what God wants you to do if your conscience is not clear? A guilty conscience in your mind is what static is to a radio. You hear two voices that say two different things. When you struggle between your will and God's will, you don't get a clear message. There is instead a distorted sound, just a bunch of static. Listen, friend, it's time for us to turn the dial to God's frequency and to tune in to His message for our lives. When we do that, He'll give us the discernment and the wisdom that's required for us to have godly living. When you face a major decision, you turn to the Word of God and you ask Him to show you a promise. The Scriptures are full of God's promises, which are evidence of God's divine guidance. God said, "I'll instruct you and teach you in the way which you should go. I'll counsel you with my eye upon you." And the author of Proverbs told Christians to trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. Friend, these are specific promises that God truly desires to give you guidance and direction for your life. You gain wisdom when you meditate on God's Word. We gain spiritual discernment when we meditate on God's Word. You can lay a strong foundation for your life by asking God to come to you. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, asking Him into your heart and forgiving your sins will be the best thing you've ever done. Realize the moment you do this, you're a child of God, a new creature in Christ. And you no longer stand at distance from God, but you belong to Him. And His eternal reward and blessings are yours to enjoy and experience from now until forever. If you've drifted in your devotion to the Savior, and you feel as though each day you live you grow more distance, then pray that He would draw you near to Himself. God knows your weakness. And if you'll tell Him that you no longer want to be in charge of your life, He'll come to you in a mighty way, and He'll bring hope and light to any dark and hopeless situation. Will you close with me in a word of prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Word that is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Please give us all as Christians a hunger to read it more faithfully and a mind to understand it more clearly. And Father, please show us how to apply Your principles to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, friend, from Rallets Baptist Church.